Okay, we're looking at biblical principles of finances, and we actually stopped before we got through talking about where the rich young ruler came to Jesus and how Jesus' comment to him was to sell what he had. He lacked one thing. Okay? How about now? I'll tell you what, the channel one. No. Channel one. One. See that one right there? 1, 2, 3, 4? Yeah, there you go. Turn it up to that. Whoa. All right. Test. One is working now, right? Okay. All right, well, Biblical Principles of Finances, page 16, top of the page, and actually picking up where we left off the last session with the rich young ruler who did not want to give up the thing that was controlling him. He wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life or the kingdom of God, however you want to term it. And God told him, or actually he's talking about the kingdom of God, and Jesus told him that he lacked one thing, and to sell all that he had and give to the poor and come follow him. Says he went away sad because he had great possessions. And then Jesus made the comment how hard it was for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, which amazed his disciples. And he said, well, who then can enter into the kingdom of God? And he says how hard it is for one who trusts in his riches. And then he went on to say it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what we have to establish is our kingdom of God, actually, is what he's saying here in Luke. We have to establish what the kingdom of God is. If you remember, we gave him Matthew talks about the kingdom of heaven, Mark and Luke, John, they talk about the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven being the origin of the kingdom, that it's coming from heaven, not from earth, and kingdom of God being who the ruler of the kingdom is. It's God's kingdom. It's not man's kingdom. It's not a world kingdom. Okay? And then we've learned from Luke 17:21 that the kingdom of God is not coming with physical observation in verse 20, but in verse 21, he tells us that the kingdom of God is within us. And so, the way God's kingdom works is God comes and rules in a person. That's why when Jesus said, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and he said, pray in this manner, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I was reading something today, and so I'm going to make a statement because of what I was reading today, because I don't agree with it, all right? There's a violation. Heaven, it didn't say heaven was coming to earth. When the kingdom of God comes in one, it's the kingdom of God, it's the rule and dominion of God, it's not heaven. Heaven's still there. You understand? And so what we need to get established is God's wants to rule in earth, but there's a problem because earth has been given to humanity, the rulership. In other words, when God created Adam, he gave Adam dominion over the earth. He didn't give him the earth, but he did give him dominion. All right? So God doesn't take back what he gives. The gifts and call of God are irrevocable, okay? And so from that time forward, man is the one who has dominion. And when Adam fell, he didn't lose his dominion. But he did submit to the suggestions of Satan, which is where we are today, that Satan influences people's lives through the world system. That's church people too. Okay? Through the world system. So people are more knowledgeable about the world system, the kingdoms of the world, than they are about the kingdoms of God, or the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus came on the scene, He made a provision to where we could operate in a different kingdom. In John, the 17th chapter, He's praying to the Father. He said, I'm not telling you to take them out of the world, but to keep them in the world. And He says, you're not of it. You're in it, but you're not of it. In other words, don't follow the principles of the world. Don't let the world rule you or dominate you, but let God rule and dominate. And the way that's done is through, it begins with a new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man's in Christ, he's what? A new creation. And here again, we're talking about spiritual versus natural. Okay? So then, the kingdom of God then is a spiritual kingdom. And this is why people struggle with operating in the kingdom of God, because they can't see it. That's why the religious people of Jesus' day had a difficulty or refused to accept Him as the Messiah, because the kingdom that they wanted Him to establish was a natural kingdom, overthrow Rome and rule on earth and all this type stuff, but yet that's not His kingdom. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And if you think about it, God is spirit, right? And we're born again, not naturally, but it means that we have a new birth. We have a spiritual birth. We had a natural birth. When we accept Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we have a spiritual birth. In this spiritual birth, allegiance changes. Now our allegiance is to God, not to the world. Okay? And so that means God's ruling in our heart. This is why we call Jesus Lord. Lord being supreme in authority. So then, if we do this as God ordained it, Jesus should be the supreme authority in each of our lives. Now, in order for that to occur, we have to let Him on the throne and we have to get off the throne. You with me? That's why He talks about dying. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. In other words, He's talking about self-life. He's not talking about the physical man dying. He's talking about the nature, the sin nature, or the Adamic nature, the flesh dominance is really the best way to say it, that flesh dominance has to die so we can be dominated or ruled by the Spirit. And you're either ruled by one or the other, not both. You don't walk in the Spirit submitted to the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the desires of the flesh, is what He tells us, okay? So when He says how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, He's talking about entering in to where God is ruling in his life, to where he's a subject of the kingdom of God. That's why he said it's hard for a rich man, because he's trusting in his riches. His riches are ruling his life. He's controlled by his riches, and consequently he can't be controlled by God. It doesn't say that a wealthy man can't come under the lordship of Jesus. It's just difficult for a man to give up that master to take another master. And see, when what Jesus was telling the rich young ruler is give up the thing that's controlling you. That's all he was saying. He's not telling him to take a vow of poverty or anything like that. So don't even read that into it, okay? And so the kingdom of God is entering us. So entering in is in us. Entering into the kingdom of God is not synonymous with going to heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a segregation, heaven, earth. But God wants to rule not only in heaven, But God wants to rule in earth, but in order to rule in earth, He has to rule through people. So Jesus created a new race of people, is what Peter says. Talks about a holy nation, okay? It's a new race of people. It's a spiritual race. To where we're ruled from inside out, not outside in. And we're ruled by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So we believe the God's Word more than we believe man's Word. Or we believe the Spirit of God more than we believe all traditions, religions, or anything of that nature. To where God is the priority of our life. And if it's choosing between anyone, any doctrine, and what God says, let God be true and every man a liar. So we have to go with God. That's the kingdom of God operating on the inside of a person. So that's why Jesus said it's hard for a person trusting in his riches to just let them go. He won't trust in God. You with me? Most people that are very rich use their money to control their lives and control other people. You know what? As well as I do. But God wants our lives under the control of the Spirit of God. He wants us trusting in Him, not in things, not in riches, not in money. That we are not to lean to our understanding, but that we should be looking to the Lord and get the understanding of the Lord, get the wisdom of the Lord operating on the inside of us. But a person that's always been their own man, control their life, and they get what they want because they money's power. And so they can pull strings, so to speak, and get their way. God doesn't want us to have our way. He wants us to do things His way. You with me? I don't care, rich, poor, whomever. So one who operates in the kingdom of God is solely dependent upon God. You're looking to God as your source. You're not looking to people. You're not looking to investments as your source. You're looking to God. Now, the Spirit of God may tell you to invest in something. You understand? I mean, that's happened often. I know of men who, you know, been driving down the road, and the Spirit of the Lord says, buy that. And then in due time, when they sell that, they make a large profit on it, but they're not closed-fist. What do they do with the profit? In other words, God's benefits by that because they sow into the kingdom of God. They sow into the work of the Lord. Okay, so God is actually controlling their finances. You with me? And so you have to get the balance of all this because you get two extremes and you get in a ditch on either side of the road, and you're in trouble. And so there's these that say, well, you just take a vow of poverty. You know, I grew up in a church, and their emphasis was on, you know, if to be spiritual, you had to be poor. Well, as a kid, I wasn't stupid because I knew as poor as we should be able to walk on water, if that was the case. There's just some things there that you just know. But then there's the other side of it that wants you totally dependent upon the riches and then manipulating everything. Money controlling the church. You understand? We'll give you this large contribution if you do this. Well, keep your money. Because you're not in control of the church. Jesus is. You understand? So don't ever take donations and contributions when there's any strings attached. Thank you, but no thank you. We want the Lord as the head of the church, not someone else. And we know that God's smarter than men. So, one can be rich and be governed by the kingdom of God, but he can't trust in his riches. Because if you're trusting in your riches are governing you. They're controlling you. Trust in riches, not riches. I want you to get that, okay? trust in riches is the evil thing. That's the root of the evil that he was talking about. That's what keeps one from allowing God to rule them in this particular case, okay? And love for money is not peculiar to just the rich man. Poor people have a love for money, even though they don't have any. I mean, think about this. Do you think people rob banks for the challenge? Or are they after the money? They're after the money. How about embezzlement and crooked business deals? Is that just a challenge? No, they're after the money. They have such a love for money that it will cause them to do foolish, illegal things. And you see it all the time in the business world. And people call it, well, that's just doing business. No, that's sinning. When you violate the Word of God, I don't care what name you put on it, when you violate the Word of God, you're sinning. When you take advantage of people, it's wrong. I don't care what it is. Whether it's in church or whether it's in secular world, you're not to take advantage of people. So, a person can evaluate their love for money by looking at their liberality. And only you can judge this. You understand that I'm not your judge, and don't let anyone else be. But examine your own heart. How liberal am I toward God? Forget the church. Forget charity. That's not what we're talking about. How liberal am I to God? Now, I'll give it to the church. I may give it to a need. But in reality, I'm giving it to God. I'm just depositing it there. You understand? That's where God wants that. So, liberal is not wasteful. You understand? It's placing money, not wasting money. There is a difference. And it's an interesting thing because I've had the Lord to speak to me to give people money or to buy a person's lunch, something like that, that didn't need it. They had more money than I did. I was in another country back some time ago, and I was teaching in a Bible college, and I was leaving that nation to go to another country to teach for another week in a Bible college. And about the middle of the week, the Lord spoke to me to give my Bible to one of the students in that college. And I thought, how am I going to do this? I'm going to need a Bible when I get over here. And I couldn't get away from that. And so at the end of the week, I gave this lady my Bible. When I got through there, I gave her my Bible. Just trusting God that I would be able to find one when I got to the next country, which I did. Not what I wanted, but I found one, okay? That was beside the point. But when I gave that lady the Bible, she broke and started just weeping. And what I found out, I didn't know it at the time, but what I found out was she did not lack for money. You understand? She's crying through her tears. She said, "Nobody has ever given me anything. I've always had to buy everything." And the Lord just wanted to show her that He loved her. That He would give to her that God doesn't have His hand out. It's the preachers that have their hand out, not God. If God's hand's out, it's given to you, not taken from you. Okay? And so you just have to be sensitive to the Spirit and be liberal with God and don't start making excuses. Well, they don't need that money. No, obey God, because God's making a statement. there's something that God's wanting to do. And so this is how the Lord rules in earth, is through your obedience. So how can God's kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven? For us to listen to God and pay attention to God like they listen to God and pay attention to God in heaven. So God is dependent upon us to do His will in earth so His kingdom can rule in earth. You understand that perversity can't rule if righteousness stands up and does the will of God. The only way darkness can rule is for light to make an exit. This nation is in the shape it's in because the light went into the closet. And when the light goes in, all the perverts go out. And that's what's happened. And so, I've been praying for some time now that there will be a boldness to come upon the body of Christ to where we'll stand up for God unintimidated. Don't hand me this garbage about offending somebody. If the Word of God offends you, you have a problem. Not me. You with me? The perverse don't mind offending you. And I'm not talking about just being offensive. I'm talking about standing up for the truth and not backing down from the truth. That's how God rules in earth, is when His people refuse to play the silly games of the world and they stay submitted to God rather than allowing peer pressure, if you will, to cause them to make decisions that actually violate their conscience. They know not to do it. And if you know to do good and you don't do it, you know what God calls that? Sin. Doesn't matter what it is. You know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. A person, a liberal person, will see more than just the little world they live in. A liberal person is going to be looking at a bigger picture. And they're actually looking for opportunity. And just listening to the Spirit, and you look for opportunity to bless people. And finances is just one way. That's not the only way you bless people, you understand? There's other ways as well. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's easier to get a person's money than it is their time. People have time for things other than God. Preachers have time for things other than God. You know, well, I've got to have my personal time. I have to take this time. No, I need to spend time with the Lord and do the Lord's business because there's so much to do in such a short time. I don't have time to take off. Does that make sense to you? Jesus was not taking time off. There was a drive on the inside of Him. I must be about the Father's business. And I can tell you this, that when you're doing what God's called you to do, you're energized, not worn out. You don't burn out if you stay fueled up. Burnout means you left the fuel. Stay in the presence of the Lord. It keeps you fired up. You understand? The liberal man's not waiting to get rich before he gives. I've heard people say, you know, well, when this happens and this happens, I'll do this. I had a person to tell me, personally, that they were going to give such and such to the ministry when this happened or that happened. Well, that never happened. And you understand, I don't pay any attention to that. People think if they give to the minister, they give to me. It's not me. It's not my money. It's not my church. It's not my college. It's God's. And so if you're just giving to me, you missed it anyway. You should be giving it to the Lord. And one who's not willing to give when he has little is not going to be willing to give when he has much. It's easier to get a man to pay a dime off of a dollar than it is to give him 100 off of 1,000. They start, whoa. Now we're getting into big money, right? No, it's a condition of the heart. Liberality is a condition of the heart. You understand? It's not the size of your pocketbook. It's the condition of your heart. And God doesn't ask you to give more than you can give. But at the time, your natural mind may say, I can't afford this. But if the Spirit of God's leading you, you can't afford not to. Because you're actually cutting off a blessing of God. God's wanting to bless someone through you, but you get blessed in the process. You understand? God's not robbing from Peter to pay Paul, so to speak. I hope that makes sense to you. I'll give you a good example of this. The widow of Zarephath. Why didn't God send to Elijah to somebody that, you know, had a cupboard full of food? Why would He send him to a woman that's getting ready to prepare the last meal and die? That's it. We're going to eat this, my son and I, and we're going to die. Because that's all we have. And He said, fix mine first. Her liberal heart caused her to be ministered to until the famine was over. You understand? But what if she would have had that stingy mind? Are you crazy? You're going to take my last meal? But see, the Lord works in some unusual ways. But what was He wanting to do? Was He wanting to send Elijah there to bless Elijah? Or did He have the widow woman in mind? You understand? He was looking at somebody in need and somebody that had the right heart. And not only was she blessed, but Elijah was blessed as well. Interesting, isn't it? It's not how much you have. What are you willing to do with what you have? That's the key. How about the woman that cast in the two mites? Jesus was watching the people at the temple putting their money into the treasury, and He was watching them put their offerings in. And when this woman puts those two mites in, Jesus says to His disciples, she gave more than all of these people. They gave out of their abundance. She gave all she had. She was liberal with the Lord. They were just giving the Lord a little tip along the way. You with me? So which one is under control of God's kingdom? The one that's given it all and dependent upon God to take care of them? Or the one that'll just tip and I'll give you what's left over? You can think about it, okay? But this is the way the kingdom of God works. It's God ruling in your heart to where you're obeying God. You hear God, you obey God. And you just believe that God is looking out not only for their best interest, but God's also looking out for your best interest. I've never had the Lord to take advantage of me. I've had people take advantage of me, but not God. You understand? Every time the Lord has asked me to do something, I have been blessed by doing it. You understand? As a matter of fact, sometimes it's amazing. I've given a couple cars away. Just because the Lord laid it on my heart. It's an interesting thing because one of those cars I gave away, the guy complained about it. It's sort of interesting. But what if I told you that God gave me one? And a guy just came to my house with a, actually with that car sitting out there right now, which is a 2003. I had a 1999 Cherokee. He came out there and said, take a ride with me. I took a ride with him. He said, what do you think about this? I said, I thought it was nice. He said, would you be willing to just trade even with me your Cherokee for this? I said, are you serious? I said, I'm not stupid. It comes around. You understand? You're not really expecting it. You're not looking for that. You're not sowing this to get that. It's just that God looks out after you. God takes care of you. So it's a heart issue. How liberal are we toward God? Okay? I think we've got the message on that, so I won't ride that horse into the ground. We'll probably hear it again in the concluding remark. But I want to talk to you about the financial principles of the world. They're so different from kingdom principles. Okay? Now I'm talking about the kingdom of God. The world says, save your money, invest your money. Make long-term investments in order to receive a higher yield. In other words, tie that money up to where you or nobody else can get it for several years. And it will yield more increase. It will. I mean, that's a principle of the world. But what if God wants you to do something with it? He can't do a thing with it. So is God's kingdom ruling you? No. The world kingdom's ruling you. Now, if the Lord says, make that long-term investment, that's different. God's kingdom's ruling you. But you do it by the Spirit of God, not just because you went to a financial counselor. You with me? There's a difference. The world says, place your money into inaccessible accounts and provide yourself a tax shelter, you know. And probably most of you have done it. I've done it. You understand? But don't violate the Spirit of God. And the truth of the matter is, you're going to pay taxes on it anyway. You can bet on that. If you die, somebody else is going to pay taxes on it. Okay? And so God's not wanting us to live by greed. He's wanting us to listen to the Spirit. The world says accumulate for the sake of increasing your worth, you know, what your net worth is and all this type of stuff, and give only when it's to your advantage. You know, I've heard people say, we're going to have to give to a charity. If we don't, we're going to have to pay taxes on this or this. So they do that to get a tax write-off. In other words, beat the system. And I'm a firm believer that good stewardship is necessary. And I believe in good management. I don't believe in being foolish and reckless and things like that as far as money goes. But many things that are advocated by the world are stimulated by fear, not good stewardship. Need to put that up for a rainy day. Well, you know, you've heard that and all that. Well, I read years ago, many years ago, about a woman who lived on the streets. No, she didn't live on the streets. She lived in an apartment and would go out on the streets and eat out of trash cans. And they found her in her little apartment dead with, I think it was $80,000 or $90,000 on her. She wouldn't spend it. And that was back in, I think, the 60s or 70s. That was a lot of money. You understand? She had it, but it had her by the throat, controlling her. And that's the way it is with so many people. Then God's kingdom's not ruling you. The world system is ruling you. You with me? And God's not wanting any of those things to rule us. He's wanting us to give when He wants us to give. And just simply said, be led by the Spirit of God. That's what He's telling us. Plan for your retirement. Well, you know, you're going to need the income when you get old. I know that Proverbs says that a wise man, a good man, he's going to lay up inheritance for his grandchildren, children's children. Okay? So I'm not saying be wasteful. And you know, I've seen these little stickers on the back of the car. I'm spending my grandchildren's inheritance. Okay? Well, I mean, that kind of stuff is foolish. Okay? But the bottom line is, don't withhold from God. Don't stop doing the work of God. Don't get stingy with God. Because, you know, I believe my children are going to be all right. I believe my grandchildren are going to be all right. You understand? But I can't afford just to say, no, God. You know, I'm going to put this over here and you know, put this in a trust fund for them, or do this, or do this, or do that. Let God rule your life. Amen. My time's up. I'm going to have to stop here. You can take your break, and we'll pick back up with this. Okay.